It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good morning, Meredith. This is fantastic. It's beautiful.
Cool. Boobs. Awesome.
Peace be with you.
Are you gay?
I've got you.
Thank you.
Get it?
Under my skin.
Very good, Rob.
Thank you.
Rob's always thinking about this. Time to get serious right now. Beth Ann, let's bring in Andy Abrahams Wilson. The movie is Under Our Skin. This is about Lyme disease. I became aware of this. My friend Mark hit me to this movie and said, this is a guy you might be interested in having on the show. And I saw the trailer, and the trailer fascinated me. And then last night I had the pleasure of watching this documentary. And let's welcome Andy. He's the director, the photographer, the chief cook and bottle washer for this film. I should mention this film is playing now through Monday at the Silver Docks Film Festival. That's in Silver Spring, Maryland, and you'll have a Saturday screening and a Monday screening as well. Andy, is that the way it works?
That's correct.
Very good. And it's Andy Abrahams Wilson.
Yes, that's right.
You put
right.
The S on the – we were having a huge debate about that here in the studio.
Almost came to blows.
We all, we fight about everything. We really
no,
do.
No, we don't.
Because,
yes,
I have to tell
we
you.
Do.
They're always wrong. They really – and this is Argument Wednesday, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
Well,
no,
I just
it
did
isn't.
It to give you trouble.
Oh, that's good. I will tell you, this is a very powerful film, and it's something that I never knew anything about. Our own Beth Ann McBride. Beth Ann, we need you in here for this, remember? She doesn't want to come in.
She got bitten.
She got bitten, said she had Lyme disease, but I had no idea that this entire Lyme disease issue was so divisive in the medical community and that so many people were getting so sick. And before we start our discussion on this, I do want to tell you, if you know anybody that has had Lyme disease or has been exposed to it or has had medical problems that they think might be Lyme disease, you want to listen to this right now, and we'll have you call in a little bit later on.
But Mike, let me just jump in here. I think the problem is it's people who don't know they have Lyme disease that may have Lyme disease.
Because it becomes late stage and they get very, very sick.
Right.
I've always heard the conventional wisdom was Lyme disease, you get bitten by a tick, you get a bullseye rash, you go to the doctor, it's treated, and bingo. Your film brings out all these cases of people that in many cases didn't have those classic symptoms early on. They get sick. They don't know what it is. They go to a million doctors. The doctors are telling them that there might be anything from MS to some sort of psychological issues that they have. Mm-hmm. And
chronic fatigue syndrome.
That's one
arthritis.
Of them.
Right.
It's amazing that lots of people are getting very, very sick and in many cases dying around the country, and the doctors are having this big fight about it. Why is this particular disease so divisive in the medical community? What is the problem?
Well, it's a difficult subject. There's a lot to talk about, and
yeah, it's amazingly difficult because there are lots of different things you cover in this film.
Yeah, I think what I want to do first is really talk about what are the symptoms of Lyme disease?
Okay,
and how are people being treated? People are walking around with this disease and they don't know they have it. And I think that's the number one thing that we need to get across. They are not being diagnosed. Their doctors don't know how to look, don't know what to look for. And they're being told that whatever their symptoms are, it's all in their head. They're being, as we said before, fibromyalgia is one, chronic fatigue syndrome. Young women often get an MS diagnosis, older people sometimes Parkinson's, sometimes Alzheimer's disease. Spirochete, it's a kind of bacteria that causes Lyme disease, is a cousin of syphilis. That's another thing that people don't know.
Wow.
And
we all have syphilis on the show, I should point that
but
out.
But it's under control.
We're doing okay.
From listening to you, I'm
now,
sure
obviously,
that's the case.
Syphilis is an STD. Is Lyme disease passable from person to person?
Uh-huh. Well, that's
another
very
one of
good
the questions
question.
They ask in the movie, because one of the prime subjects that that Andy follows around in this film has a very severe case of Lyme disease, and she's got all sorts of neurological issues.
Right.
At the end of the film, when she's been on, I guess, a course of antibiotics that are turning the corner for her, she seems to be doing better. At that point, her husband is starting to become symptomatic, and a lot of
really?
These things. All right, let's. I want to keep this, Andy, for purposes of time as well as keeping this clear to our listening audience, and as helpful as we can be. I want to tell you, what are, you know, if you're feeling these symptoms, what are the symptoms, if you have them, that you should see a doctor or perhaps see a person who specializes in Lyme disease? What are the symptoms?
Okay. And that's a, as seemingly benign question as that is,
yeah.
It's a very difficult answer.
I know.
Because Lyme disease is multi-symptomatic. Yes, it
right.
has many symptoms, and it affects multiple systems of mm-hmm. the body.
Right.
Just like the syphilis spirochete.
So outside of having everybody run to the doctor, you know, for everything, is
right.
there are there any – because we don't have a medical system in this country that has given us enough information on Lyme disease so that they can say, hey, you know, that's something you really ought to go see a doctor about and say, I think I
right.
might be, I might have been bitten by a tick or I might have been
right.
exposed to a tick. Are there certain symptoms that are classic that people should see their doctor
yes.
about?
Yes, okay. And let me give you an example. Last
right.
night, I'm at the Silver Docks Film Festival. And it was an after party. Is a friend of a friend was talking and telling me about how she's been experiencing pain in her knees,
okay,
and joint pain, specifically in her hands and her knees.
Okay, mm-hmm.
She's been saying that she's had crushing fatigue, and didn't know what it was. And I said, okay,
right.
Through the course of the conversation, she also said that her mother has been diagnosed for fibromyalgia and is starting and is having real memory issues.
Yeah. It's another symptom of Lyme. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lyme disease can cause cognitive issues, that
okay.
you can have problems with that.
Right.
Like so.
And that her son has autism. Now, most people would listen to this and not put the dots together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But after 4 years of research into this and talking to hundreds and hundreds of
I was going to ask you how long
doctors.
This was a 4-year project, and
yes.
it shows in the documentary. I imagine very difficult to do. You follow these people for such a long period of time. But after 4 years, all of these things could possibly be related, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so I listen to that story, and I say, okay, that sounds like it could be Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to scare her. She got scared. But
right.
basically, I think people need to be scared,
mm-hmm.
And they need to demand the help. This isn't going to come from the top down. It's going to come from the bottom up. It's going to come from people who are sick demanding that they get proper treatment.
Are you going to talk about your situation,
Bethan?
This is really. I was just going to, because I didn't know whether you were comfortable talking about it or not. But this gets into insurance companies, and because we're talking about something that can be a chronic condition, and not
right.
all doctors agree that this is chronic, you can run into the roadblocks of managed health care,
right.
which so many people have run into that roadblock anyway. It's difficult.
Yeah, let me just back up for 1 second, because I threw out a word that was pretty loaded, and I mm-hmm. want to make sure that people get it, and that was autism.
Yeah.
And I'm linking the mother and the daughter and the child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is evidence that this disease could be sexually transmitted and can be transmitted in utero from mother to child.
Wow. Didn't the movie?
So,
I'm just going to ask you about it.
Tick.
Didn't your film categorically confirm that? I mean, if this woman that had the baby
yes.
said she had Lyme disease, she was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and the child that she's given birth to has Lyme disease. He's tested positive. That's
yes, but we also have a Yale physician who says that's not possible.
That's not possible. You got these doctors saying there is no way to transmit the disease in utero. There also is no such thing as chronic Lyme disease that stays in
Correct.
Your system and, you know, will be dormant and then cured and then come back again. And then you have other physicians that are saying that's preposterous.
Yes.
And at the end, one of your doctors who works out of his basement comes out with this connection that, yes,
right.
it can be a chronic
right.
disease.
Right.
Well, where are you on this? Because this, I tell you, I'm getting frustrated because I watched all these people that were seriously not cured, but their health was dramatically improved
yes.
by getting the treatment from
yeah.
the people that said they had chronic Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where do you line up on this? I mean, I didn't consider the documentary to be completely objective. You know, you have both sides represented, but you definitely make a case for the fact that there is such a thing as chronic Lyme disease.
And you know what I think is interesting is, you know, Andy, you don't have Lyme disease.
No, I
don't. But what led you to do the film?
Well, my twin sister had Lyme disease mm-hmm. about 10 years ago. She lives in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
She was not treated immediately. I remember she would be laying on the couch, asking for drinks, complaining about aches and pains.
Right.
She was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take it very seriously at the time. And kind of have to say, I just thought she was a little cuckoo at the time. And then about 10 years later, a friend of mine in California got very sick and with mysterious symptoms. She would walk into the supermarket and forget who she was.
Wow.
And not just where she was, but who she was. And,
mm-hmm.
and then she got a diagnosis of MS, and then she got a diagnosis of ALS, which is really basically a death sentence.
Right.
And then finally got a diagnosis of Lyme disease.
And, they hit her with the antibiotics?
Started treatment, and she's getting better.
Sure. Well,
was through that. I was just shocked. I was shocked that Lyme disease could do that. The more I looked into it, the more I saw there's just a massive number of people
going through the exact
going
same
through
thing.
The exact same thing.
What is the test for Lyme disease? Is it hard to test for? Is
That's
it
a great question.
Test?
Because we were talking about is there a test?
So easy.
I was told by the doctor that treated me that there is no, you know, conclusive test. The only way to do it would be a brain autopsy at death.
Ah,
and I opted not to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and I just say that because the medical pathologist in our film. Did look at some mm-hmm. autopsies, some brains of people who died from Alzheimer's, and he
right.
found in these brains, in 7 out of 10 of the brains of people who died from Alzheimer's, evidence of infection with the Lyme disease.
It's a bacteria, right? It's a bacterial
right.
infection.
They did have Alzheimer's, but they also had Lyme disease, or do you think it was a misdiagnosis?
Well, that's the question,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't conclusively answer that. Some people might believe that... Lyme disease may be misdiagnosed as
right.
these other things,
right.
or it may cause these
All right,
other
well, let
things.
Me stop you right now because I'm going nuts right now, okay? Because I'm a person that wants to have, you know, and you feel this way in the documentary a little bit, too, when you watch this. I say you're not objective. You are, because it kind of, you give both sides of the story. But what's driving me crazy, clearly there are people in this documentary that have issues that are corrected with these massive doses of antibiotics over a long period of time. You see it. You see them ill, and they're not faking it. It's obvious, and you see them get better. How do we get our physicians or our medical community to take this seriously? Because there are people that are getting better that are being helped with this course of action. That's
right.
all I saw that right. that I said is the definitive thing.
Well, I think
thing.
That's why I wanted to make a movie.
Right.
That's why I wanted to make a film about this, to show it. Because the detractors, the medical detractors are saying, there's no evidence. Where's the science?
Yep.
Show me the evidence.
Right.
And the problem is there are no good tests. We have bad tests. That's what we have. About 30 to 50% of people who test negative may be positive.
Wow.
Are positive.
That's too many.
So it's yes. So most people, even if they go
so
to their doctor to get it, they go to their doctor, they think, oh, I might have Lyme disease, or
right.
can you test me for Lyme disease? They get tested, the test comes back negative.
Yeah, you're fine.
And that's where it's left.
And you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands
right.
of people all over the country.
Yes. And then 10 years later, something happens. I just want to say there's a story, one of the women that I came across in the film, she was diagnosed with Lyme disease at the very beginning of this epidemic in Boston by one of the leading Lyme physicians. And she was treated for a couple weeks with antibiotics.
Right.
And said that she's cured. She doesn't have Lyme disease anymore. Then maybe about 20 years later, she's in California. All of a sudden, she's crippled. She's in a wheelchair. Both of her children are sick. And she doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Her doctors are diagnosing her with all sorts of
right.
things, including even AIDS. And
mm-hmm.
and it was finally at some point she was able to connect the dots. And
she got better?
She's being treated right now.
Right.
And
wow.
She's getting better. But the problem is when you get to late stage like that,
there is a point of
difficult.
No return. You know,
yeah.
And I mean, at the very end of this film, you see that there are people that actually have died. And they've died because they believe it's Lyme disease, you know.
Right.
But because
mm-hmm.
we don't have the tests, and you've got so much argument on both sides of the aisle as far as the medical community is concerned on this issue, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Is this film done any good? Are the organizations doing any good? Where do we stand right now?
Well, I want to offer hope. Okay. I don't want to say that the end of the tunnel is dark and that there is no hope. I don't want to just scare people with the film.
It is a scary film, though.
It's a scary film, but it's an inconvenient truth, and we need to look at it that way. We need to wise up.
Does Al Gore have Lyme disease? No, I'm sorry. I just had to ask.
No, but President Bush was diagnosed with Lyme disease.
That's the reason.
That's why I can't remember.
Now I get it. Rob, you had a question.
Yeah, with all the research you've done, and I mean, it seems like science can do anything if they put their mind to it. Do you think if they set out to do it, they could come up with a conclusive, effective test for it?
Absolutely.
But they're just not doing it.
Well, you know, it's a big question. Who are they? You know,
It's got to be them.
Yeah, and we're depending on them. And I think that's a good point. And I think what a lot of the people in the Lyme disease community are taking it into their own hands.
And the doctors that are working to have tests and also working to help people are being in many cases vilified and being brought up before medical boards and having their licenses taken away.
Right.
I mean, that's where we are.
For making people better.
Yes. Right. And definitively.
I was really lucky. You know, the physician I went to, I actually went to an urgent care on a weekend because I felt so bad. And I never feel bad. I always want to do my exercises, and I just couldn't get out of bed. So I go to this urgent care, and I was also lucky in the fact, and if you guys remember me talking on the show.
I remember last time it was your last go-around
here. It was two bites on my ass. So
very nice.
Yes, thank you very much.
And he looks at it, and he said, I think you may have been bitten, by tick, you know, two ticks. Mm-hmm. He said, you need to go to this guy. So I go to this guy at this well-known place around here, and he said, I'm going to test you, and I know you will test negatively, but I'm going to treat you for Lyme disease anyway. What's the worst that can happen? So I went through two cycles of treatment.
And after seeing your film, I said to her, she got a good one.
She got a good doctor who was
able to give her the massive doses of antibiotics.
It all started at the beginning.
Right.
I mean, that's
what's important. It all started with the physician, really, at the urgent care.
Why is the medical community so in the dark, so reluctant? I mean, we've always had ticks. Have we always had Lyme disease? Why are we only hearing about it now? Is it because we're in the dark?
Well, we're not only hearing about it now. That's the irony. We've been hearing about it. It's been there since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And in the 1980s, there was sort of it was on the cover of Newsweek as the mysterious new disease. And then it sort of dropped from radar.
Yeah.
It's been around. Some people, to be honest, one of the things that got me interested in this topic in the first place was there's some theories that the spirochete that causes Lyme disease was actually bioengineered or re-engineered as a weapon of bioterror.
And when you say spirochete, somehow I envision a psychedelic bird in a cage.
Okay, yeah, man.
Hey, man, that's my spirochete.
Groovy,
a combination
baby.
Of the old kids' game spirograph and a parakeet. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, that's the other thing that makes this issue so complicated. People just can't grasp it. All the concepts around it. It's not easy. It's not a cookie cutter disease.
All right, here's what I'm going to ask because we are short on time, unfortunately. I mean, you know, with all due respect, if this was NPR, we'd be here for 5 hours talking about it. I want you to go through, because people are going crazy with questions. Let's try to get these questions. You know, I should emphasize, Andy is a filmmaker.
Right.
He is not a doctor. He is on top of this issue. But is there a place people can go for more information if we're not giving it to them
here? What do you recommend?
Where can they go to get information?
Well, yeah, let me tell you. First of all, our website, underourskin.com, has a lot of links and resources. It tells about screenings of the film, possibilities to order the DVD. And I'll also tell you about our outreach partner. It is Turn the Corner, and their website is turnthecorner.org.
Good stuff. Going to take some quick questions here, and let's see if we can get through them as quickly as we can. Let's go to Ryan, who's been waiting a long time in Fairfax. Ryan, you're on with Andy Wilson.
Hey, guys. Any talk in your documentary of a possible vaccination for Lyme disease, if at all possible?
Very good question. I'm going to go through these quickly, so I'm cutting you off here, Ryan, but do hang up and listen. Is there any talk of a vaccine at all?
Boy, how much time do we have?
Not a lot.
Yeah. There is no effective vaccine. There has been no effective vaccine, mm-hmm. and I don't believe that there's any effective vaccine in the work. And just because they tell you that there might be an effective vaccine coming out doesn't mean there will be. Mm-hmm. The people who are charged right now with creating vaccines are the same ones who are denying that chronic Lyme disease exists.
Let's go to Jerry in Vermont. Jerry, you're on with Andy Abrahams-Wilson. Yes.
Hey, I was just curious. I heard you mention a little bit earlier about fibromyalgia. My wife has been diagnosed with that pretty severely, and you were making a connection with Lyme disease and fibromyalgia, and I might have missed, I'm a truck driver, so I was in and out of my truck, and I might have missed a few words of what you, how you tied that together, or if it has effects, or how it's connected to Lyme disease, or is it a cause from Lyme disease? Or
quite often, I'll paraphrase, quite often misdiagnosed, that the fibromyalgia is actually a symptom of Lyme disease. Is that correct?
Right. Fibromyalgia just really means you have you're aching.
Right. Yeah, aching joints.
It's
got a second diagnosis?
So it's not really. Doctors have just created this syndrome called fibromyalgia. People mm-hmm. come in and say, "Oh, I'm hurting," and they're saying they're calling it fibromyalgia. Many physicians don't even believe that fibromyalgia exists. Mm. So what is causing that? That's the question. And in many, many cases, people who are diagnosed with fibromyalgia turn out to have Lyme disease.
Okay. All right. Wow. So that I would say get to a physician, and if she's concerned about it, check it out. I also think it's very important to point out, and I certainly want to point out on this show, everything that's making you sick isn't Lyme disease. So let's nip that in the bud. And I think the movie does show you that a little bit.
Don't get paranoid.
But be aware.
But yeah. Be aware of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be aware of what's going on here. And if you're in areas, around rural areas where you're out on the fringe and there are a lot of ticks, tick infestations, you should be aware of that too.
And if you're like Buzz, an outdoorsman.
That's right.
That's right. Let's go to Greg in New Mexico. Greg, you're on with Andy. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I contracted Lyme disease when camping in North Carolina. And what I found really frustrating was first I had to literally beg my physician to test me. And one thing that I discovered is that this, as the disease spreads across the country, it's mixing with other tick-borne diseases like ehrlichiosis and Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Wow.
And I ended up testing positive for all three.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Are legit doctors now doing a multi-level testing when...
No, they don't. Doctors don't know. They just don't know enough about this disease. They don't know about the co-infections. And they don't know
they don't
how
know
to
or they
get
don't
the...
want to know.
Well, I think they don't. I think both.
Because it's a hot potato as far as your license, your medical license. I mean, and they do know that. They do know that this Lyme disease issue is very significant. Thanks a lot.
Why is it such a hot potato issue with doctors?
Well, again, that's another one of those questions that we'd have to sit here for a very long time to respond to. But it's at an issue that the crux of the issue is Lyme disease chronic? Is it a chronic infection? And you have one group of physicians who are really the gatekeepers of the disease definition and disease treatment who are saying, no, Lyme disease can't be chronic.
When he says gatekeeper, the people that write the regulations, mm-hmm. that sit on the boards,
right.
The medical boards, and they're really writing the rule book for this.
They make the overall decision.
And unfortunately, there is scientific evidence that's out there that says, yes, it is a chronic condition,
right.
And that's why people, might be diagnosed with it, it goes away, and then it comes back mm-hmm. a little bit. But,
right.
But it's
that's
still,
right, but-
it's important to point out, if it's treated early, though, with
yes.
the right treatment, you have an overwhelming success rate with treating it.
Yes.
Right?
But you pay $60 for a course of antibiotics if it's caught early enough.
Right.
Versus $150,000 or more
going
out
to 50
of pocket,
different doctors
out of pocket, because a lot of these people with chronic Lyme are denied insurance.
Okay, we're going to take
because
right.
the guidelines say chronic Lyme disease does not exist.
Now, all right, put two and two together with that, Buzz, when you're saying, mm-hmm. gee, if we say it's a chronic condition, we're going to have to pay a lot more money.
Right.
There's the whole health care mm-hmm. issue in this country, which is, that's a massive issue. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Ben, mm-hmm. Silver Spring, Maryland. Ben, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show with Andy Abrahams-Wilson. Go ahead.
Appreciate it, Mike. Is there any chance that the people with chronic Lyme disease, particularly those that show symptoms more than 10 or 20 years down the road, have just been reinfected?
Reinfected in terms of bitten by a tick? Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it happens so frequently to people, especially people that have been bitten once.
Mm-hmm.
They live in an area that may be infected.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, what I've heard from physicians and anecdotally from patients is that, yes, if you are more susceptible to reinfection if you're bitten by By tick again.
It can happen in the air. So you got to be more aware of this when you leave. I'm going to leave this with one final question from Mike in Fairfax, because we could be here all day doing
sure.
that. But, hey, you know, you got to tell you, money talks. Mike from Fairfax, you're on the Mike O'Mara
show. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
No problem.
Yeah, I've been dealing with it. My fiance's had it for about 3 years now. And believe it or not, Loudoun County is one of the top five areas in the country for incidents of Lyme.
Probably based on all the deer that are out there, too.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the important, I mean, if you find a doctor that is aware of Lyme and knows what test to give you, because the initial test, the Western blot, there's tests beyond that that look for other antibiotics because of those co-infections. And because if you have that co-infection, you probably have the Lyme. So, I mean, but it is just crazy. Health insurance, she's denied that.
Yeah, and then, that's the, yeah, I agree. Well, Mike, I appreciate the call. Did you have a specific question for Andy?
And just want, the long-term, effects of antibiotics on the body. That's the other concern, why doctors don't want to.
That's a good question.
Treat that,
what about that? Because I wondered about that, too. That seems to be the main way they're treating this, is massive doses of antibiotics.
Yeah. Well,
is the long-term effect on that?
Well, right. I mean, it's an important question. But how are we treating cancer? We're treating it with chemotherapy and radiation. Which is not, nobody would say that's healthy.
Right. Yeah,
nobody
right.
would say that's good for you,
right.
ultimately. But it's being used. What's the choice?
That's in the movie, isn't it? Yeah, that's
I believe it is.
Yeah, I should have paid more attention. I remember that. This is fascinating stuff. If you would like to find out more, go to the website for the film, underourskin.com. That will link you to, all of the other folks that are involved with this. And it's very sad when you see doctors that are really trying to help people brought up before medical review boards. It's frustrating.
It's outrageous.
When you see that, it drives me crazy. And then when you smell that rat, that, that 800-pound gorilla in the room, the medical insurance business, that's when I don't trust anybody.
That's right.
It's frustrating. But if you'd like to see the film, it's going to be at the Silver Docks Film Festival. That's in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yes.
There's a Saturday screening and also a Monday screening, right?
Right.
How long you've been making these documentary films? Is this your first one, or your?
No, I've been doing this for over 10 years.
I could tell it looked pretty good. It's a wonderful film,
and a lot of it was shot right here in this county. The aerial shots that we did was over.
They looked
your,
like
your lovely could, trees,
yeah.
lovely tick infested trees
with
right
all
here.
The ticks, so and it is tick season. And I just hope
while you were up there, you could have sprayed.
I hope for everybody's sake that this motivates people to get the medical community to come together and have better policy on this issue. If that's all it does, I think your job has been well done.
Yes,
thanks so much. We appreciate
Thank
that.
You
okay?
so Thank you so much.
That's Andy Abrahams-Wilson. The movie is Under Our Skin. Go see it if you get a chance, if you're concerned about this, and go to underourskin.com if you're worried about ticks. I tell you, you can't see this movie without getting worried about it. You watch this movie halfway through, you're going to be itching.
I'm itching. Just
on your arm.
I don't know what's on my arm. Stop it right now. All right, so we'll be back with the Hollywood Hot Sheet, and also we're going to play more spy games on the show, and we'll have an update on our free gas giveaway. That's all coming up. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.